Move to approve the meeting minutes of February 2nd, 2021 with that correction.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, special meeting minutes of February 5th, 2021. We have any questions or concerns? If not, entertain a motion, please.
I make a motion to approve this, the special meeting minutes of February 5th, 2021.
Second the motion.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, regular meeting minutes of February 16th, 2021. I do have one correction on that one as well. Where Ms. Amato was made a member of the SCED board as an actual acting member, not as an alternate. We can have that corrected. I think there was some confusion on that. But that is actually how the vote was presented, as she is an acting member, not an alternate. Other than that, I have nothing else for those minutes. If there's no other concerns, entertain a motion at this time, please.
Move to approve the regular meeting minutes of February 16, 2021 with that correction.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And item E, special meeting minutes of February 19th, 2021. If there are no concerns, entertain a motion at this time, please.
I move to approve the meeting minutes of February 19th, 2021.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez.
Yes. Reading of correspondence, commissioners, committee reports. Commissioner Lopez, would you like to go first this morning?
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Chairman, and good morning, everyone. Quite busy. One of the very interesting meetings that I attended February 22nd was the Trinidad Housing Forum. The attendance of that particular dialogue and conversation was quite large. At one of the points of the meeting, 80 plus attendees, and the city of Trinidad hosted that roundtable, and it was exciting to hear some of the initiatives that could be happening here in Los Angeles County to alleviate some of the housing challenges that we have. On February 24th, I was also on a roundtable dialogue conversation with CCI on the opioid negotiations. Where we are at this point in time is certainly exciting because the approval of the formula, it's underway. And also we are working on the governor's committee group. And that's gonna be pretty exciting to have actually counties at the table, county commissioners and or representatives from the county. We're getting so close to probably the last and final leg of the opioid negotiation settlement is right around the corner. On February the 25th, was invited to a meeting with CCI as well, speak about some of the challenges that are going on with CHASA, CDPHE, and the guidelines for indoor high school sports. The conversation is still ongoing. We hope to hear from CDPHE. We put on the table a couple of requests that are being heard throughout the state, so we'll see what happens with that. And then last Thursday and Friday, a very interesting legislative round of conversations, both days, pretty long days from 9 to 3:30, 9 to 5:30. So they were quite long. One of the footnotes that is worthy to be mentioned, our executive director, John Swartout from CCI, cautioned to really pay attention to the legislative docket that we have on the coming in from the legislature this particular session, because a lot of the bills carry with them unfunded mandates, and the counties will be picking up the tab on those. So the it's going to be a challenging, yet it's going to be quite burdensome, because 300 bills have been introduced thus far, and that is a lot of literature and language that we need to be reading. One of the chairman, I wanted to request to post a link of all the of all those bills and the introduction of legislation on our website. It would be great for our county constituents to have access to that so they don't have to go through CCI. That would be great information. One of the, and I'll close with this, one of the bills actually that is on the docket, it's speaking of removing basically any authority from any county commissioner from the boards of health. So that continues to advance. We'll just keep our pulse and eyes on it, see what happens. That's my report, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Mr. Dorenkamp can assist in getting that legislative information up on our website, I'm sure, for our community. So Commissioner Haas.
Yes, very busy week, last 2 weeks. And as commissioners, we often can attend every meeting. Commissioner Lopez attended the Trinidad Housing Authority meeting and on February 22nd, then I attended the local government state transportation conversation. Governor Polis, CDOT Director Shoshana Liu, Speaker Garnett, and Senate Majority Leader Senator Finberg had the primary discussion that consisted of CDOT priority projects and addressing the budget shortfall. As Commissioner Lopez had mentioned, a very long couple of days, the 25th and the 26th, the CCI steering committee meetings were being held. They told us there were 600 bills that would be introduced. And during the Ag, Wildlife, and Rural Affairs Committee, which I chair, one of the topics that was of concern and we took a position on this bill was House Bill 201045, which is the modernization of the Pest Control Act. And we took a position of support on this concerning the Department of Agriculture's authority to control pests primarily in the urban corridors. We also had a presentation from Senator Simpson and Helen Silver and on their proposed soil health bill that would be introduced this week. The primary concern that I had with that bill was we don't want to lose any local control. And I was concerned that this might be looking for more government control. And after all, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the NRCS, has been around for over 70 years. And I urge the senators to seek advice from this longstanding grassroots organization that this organization is ran from the bottom up, a true grassroots organization. And there's a wealth of information that this organization has to offer where this soil health is concerned. The senator assured me that they were in conversation with the NRCS. Other bills that to note that would affect our ag community is there was Senate Bill 2105, Implement and Finance the Gray Wolf Introduction. This bill was concerning the implementation of the Proposition 114 concerning the restoration of the gray wolves in Colorado, and that funding would be taken from the general fund to support that introduction. Let's see, House Bill 1109 and Senate Bill 60, both bills dealing with broadband implementation and the methodology to target the worst served first. So it would serve rural counties that are having difficulty with their broadband, and this bill would allow them to serve those rural counties first. That's all I have, sir.
Thank you, commissioners. Commissioner Lopez.
Yes, pardon my commissioner has one of the bills that is actually going to be making its way, I believe, is there is going to be for fire mitigation purposes, the state is going to be procuring a helicopter for the use of all counties, and basically is going to be county first. I thought that was a very, very good initiative. That it's a $27 million initiative, but that particular copter, when it's not in use by the state, it's actually going to be used by other states as needed under contract to recover some of the investment. So that was absolutely a wonderful initiative, because as we have gone through the fire season. It was widely supported by all the counties. And then, pardon my tardiness here, I had a great communication with NACO, the executive director of National Association of Counties. He and I had a lengthy conversation, introduced one another, and I am honored and proud to be part of the NACO board at the national level. It's going to be an exciting opportunity. We'll continue the communication. I'm getting ready to have a dialogue with the president of NACO as well. And hopefully I'll get an opportunity to choose a couple of the committees that I'm going to be serving on the national spotlight. Thank you, sir. And pardon my forgetfulness there.
Oh, not at all. Good job, gentlemen. Everybody's been busy. To add to the plethora of meetings you guys have all had, and we've all kind of been on the same calls, February 16th, the board was able to meet with Senator Bennett's office, Washington officials, and we had a good conversation regarding our coal industry and moving forward with Allegiant Coal and how they are going to be looking into the benefits of that industry here in Los Angeles County, and how the worldwide distribution of that product will be processed into the metallurgical realm of steel production. So that was a good conversation we had. On February 18th, I attended my Tura board meeting, and it's just business as usual for Tura, but they finally, we finally came to the terms with the parameters of the property or the mapping of the community that it will be available to partake in the facade program. And thank the city of Trinidad and Mr. Valentine for getting all that put together for Tura, and they are moving forward with that initiative. February 26th, we had a five-star work session regarding the five-star program for the state of Colorado with the committee that has been put together. That was our first meeting with the board and the committee, and I believe they are moving forward with getting results and interpretation of how many and businesses that are partaking or wish to partake in this. I know it's evolving. We all know it's evolving as the dial system's changing. However, in that those conversations, the five-star will still be available or implemented when COVID 3.0 is implemented. It probably does still have some good benefits to be looking into this program in case we start slipping down the dial and moving forward. So I commend the committee for all their efforts and their meetings and their time they put into there to do the presentation to us, and look forward to our next meeting with them to see where we're at with that. And then yesterday we met with the city and our county treasurer and our assessor and the board with regarding Cougar Canyon status. I know that's been a big thorn in everybody's side for a long time. And I think we are really after yesterday's conversation, I think we've come to a point where the city and the county will be able to finally move forward collectively together and interpret how we move forward together. And those conversations that were had yesterday, I think were really positive moving forward to look into the litigation of it and how we move forward as a community, not just as a single entity, whether it be the county or the city. And that's a good move, I believe, in my thinking, between the two entities moving forward to help this housing crisis we have here in Los Angeles County and the city of Trinidad. So I'd like to thank the city staff for all their efforts and the county staff as well for putting that together and having that discussion yesterday. And, you know, a lot of us are in a position where this is a really thankless job. For all the efforts and all the hard work that goes behind this, especially for a program such as this with the Cougar Canyon issue over the years. So to our community members, be patient, to our contractors, to our community leaders, it's very difficult for the staff of our county and city to get all of the ducks in a row, so we can move forward. But I think yesterday was a really great starting point, and I thank everybody for their time. That is all I have for my presentations, other than the plethora that you two gave us. We've been on a lot of those calls together, and I thank you for being there when I can't. We will move on next with our public comment, and I don't know, Mr. Dornkamp, if we have anybody signed up for public comment at this time.
No, Commissioner, no one has signed up for public comment.
And if anybody has a quick 2 minute, 3 minute, something to say right before we go to our CPACE presentation, please feel free to unmute and speak at this time. Okay, seeing none, we will move on with our presentation, item A, CPACE presentation. And I believe Ms. Berg is the lead on this today, or is it Ms. Phillips, or what are we doing, guys? Who's gonna take the lead on this?
I'll go ahead and, this is Stephanie Bakken, and I work with Dana Crawford at Urban Neighborhoods. And I'll go ahead and introduce our presentation. First of all, thank you, commissioners, for listening to this presentation on the benefits of the CPACE program and why we think it might be a good idea for Los Alamos County to participate in this program. We have four different speakers. We'll try to be brief. The first speaker is Tracy Phillips, and he is the CPACE director for the state. And he's gonna talk about the overview of the CPACE program. We will then have Danelle Berg speak and talk about CPACE effectiveness in Otero County and other counties that she's familiar with. Dana Crawford will speak about projects that she's involved with that, you know, could definitely benefit if the county chooses to participate in the program. And finally, Larry Lucas will speak. He is an architect with the DOLA's Main Street program, and he will talk about the Heritage Main Street pilot program that the Foxwoods Theater was fortunate enough to be selected to participate in. And so without further ado, I guess Tracy Phillips, why don't you get us started?
You might need to unmute.
Yep. Okay. Can you all hear me now? Sorry about that.
Yep.
Yeah. And could somebody give me the ability to share my screen? I have just a few slides I'd like to show, if that's possible.
Mr. Dorenkamp?
Yes, sir. I'm working towards that. Okay, Tracy, see if that will allow you to share.
Yeah, that did it. Okay. So you should be able to see my screen now? The slides?
Yes.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'll be as quick as I can. So I wanted to give you a little background about the program that we have here in Colorado. It's called the Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy Program. And for those of you that don't know much about the program, so the program was launched here in Colorado back in 2016. And the design of the program was to help finance energy efficiency, renewable energy, and water conservation improvement projects for existing buildings, as well as to help finance efficient new construction projects. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. When the legislation was passed to enable CPACE financing in the state, it created a district, which we call the New Energy Improvement District. So that's a statewide district. So we serve the entire state with this program. But in order for us to finance projects in a certain county, that county needs to opt in. And so that's why we're here talking to you today. The program and all of the projects are financed through private capital. So there's no state money or federal money or grants or bonds. It's completely self-sustaining, the program. And the program is sponsored by the Colorado Energy Office, and there are seven board members, volunteers, that are appointed by the governor that sort of oversee the program. So the idea behind CPACE, the reason why it was started to begin with, was a lot of building owners were reluctant to do improvement projects on their building because they usually ran into the issues of they don't have enough money for these projects, or a really big concern for them is they said, I don't know how long I'm going to own this building. So they don't want necessarily do improvements that have a longer payback period, thinking that, well, if I sell the building, I'll never see a return on my investment. So when they created CPACE, it was really an attempt to tackle those issues and to offer building owners a different way, a different form of financing these types of projects, very different than other types of financing. So there's really three things that make CPACE very different than other financing. So the first is it's 100% financing. There's no out-of-pocket to a building owner. and it will cover all the hard costs and all the soft costs associated with a project. The second is it's long-term, so they can finance these projects up to 25 years. So right there, that's very different than traditional financing. You know, that might be 30% out of pocket over 5 years of financing. This is no out of pocket over 25 years. So very different model. But what really makes it unique is that CPACE is an assessment that is placed on the property. We call it a special purpose assessment. And the reason it's done like that is by as an assessment on the property, then the owner makes their payments through their property tax bill. So the CPACE assessment becomes a line item on the property tax bill, which means if the owner sells the building down the road, they have the ability to hand off future payments to the next owner. So in other words, they can do an improvement project, enjoy the energy savings, make the payments while they're there. Then when they sell the building, the next owner who is enjoying the energy savings and other benefits, now they're going to start making the payments from that point on. So that's really a key component to CPACE, right? The financing is intended to help the building and it stays with the building. So the C in CPACE stands for commercial. So any commercial, industrial, or agricultural building is eligible for financing. That includes nonprofits. People always ask us, well, they don't pay property taxes. How does this work for a nonprofit? But nonprofits have assessments placed on them just like everybody else. And we've actually worked with quite a few nonprofits and done projects here in Colorado. Multifamily is also eligible. If it's five or more units, it's considered commercial multifamily. So an apartment complex would be eligible. I heard Mr. Lopez talk about the housing challenges. So this is sort of a tool that might be able to help with, you know, either rebuilding some of the multifamily or even on the new construction side, which I'll talk about in a minute. Then for existing buildings, anything with a utility cost savings is eligible for financing. So any energy efficiency like lighting, new HVAC equipment, new roof, new windows, new domestic hot water, plumbing fixtures, it could be solar PV, really anything that'll reduce your utility bill is eligible for financing through the program. I talked about new construction as well. So CPACE can provide between 15 and 20% of the total construction budget as long as the building either meets or exceeds the 2015 energy code. So if they're building to the 2015 energy code, regardless of what the jurisdiction might require, the developer's opting to build to that code, or maybe they're already building to that code, then they're eligible for 15% financing through CPACE. And if they can demonstrate that they're going to be at least 5% better than code, then they're eligible for 20% financing. This is a really exciting part of the program these days. So I mentioned it's a statewide program and each county needs to opt in. So this is sort of what the landscape in Colorado looks like from a CPACE perspective. So currently there are 33 counties that are participating in the program. And we have a number of them that are on the verge of opting in. So hopefully that'll happen soon. But this represents about 75% of the building stock in Colorado. So there's some pretty good coverage, but we've really been pushing, especially in the last few years, we really want to be inclusive. So I've been working hard with my colleagues and folks like Stephanie and Dana and Larry to try to reach more rural parts of the state. And so you can see the yellow means we're in conversation. So we've really been working hard to get Southern Colorado, Southeast Colorado, Eastern, and even what's left in the Western Slope on board. So for a county to opt in, it's a pretty straightforward process. You simply would put it on your Board of County Commissioners agenda and pass a resolution. Once you've done that, then you just sign a county participation agreement. So it just says you'd like to participate. As soon as that's done, you're in the program, and then we can start working with folks in your community to finance projects. The role of the county, once you're in the program, again, it's pretty straightforward. Anytime a project is financed in the county, then you would place the assessment, the CPACE assessment on the property on behalf of the program. And then from that point on, whenever the owner makes their payments, their CPACE payments, whether that's once a year or twice a year, depending on when they pay their property taxes, you would remit that payment to the program. So it's just a pass-through fairly straightforward process. And the county actually gets paid for those administrative efforts. So the county would receive its 1% of the annual payment goes to the county. So in other words, if you had a building owner that had a $50,000 a year payment, the county would receive $500 a year to cover those administrative efforts with remittance of the payment. So just a few benefits to the county. You know, the program is intended to help your existing buildings, right? So it'll improve it's intended to improve the building infrastructure, you know, help attract and retain businesses and building owners and tenants and developers, support energy innovation. I don't know about if the county or the cities there have climate goals, but this could be a tool that could help them achieve those with really very minimal impact on county resources that, you know, like I mentioned, you get receive a fee for. And it's voluntary, right? This isn't being forced on anyone. This is just another tool for owners and developers to potentially utilize if it's a good fit for them. So I'll wrap up this is what the program has done in the state to date. So far, we've financed 84 projects, a little over $96 million in financing. You can see some of the metrics there around those projects. Project sizes range from about $60,000, that's the smallest that we've done, up to currently $7.1 million is the biggest, and the sky's the limit. There's no project too big for the program. There's tons of money that wants to try to finance these projects. Of those 84 projects, 20 of them have been new construction, so we're really leading the charge in the country on new construction financing. Many of them have been hospitality, so hotels are really attracted to this. A number of them have also been multifamily projects. So again, a real important market sector. And you can see we have quite a few registered contractors and capital providers who are providing the financing. So I'll wrap up because I know we have a few other folks, but I'll be available for questions.
Donnell, are you prepared to talk about CPACE effectiveness in Otero County? And also, you might want to talk about what the administrative effort required by the county in terms of time and that kind of thing.
I would be happy to. Tracy will tell you that I'm a cheerleader for CPACE in southeastern Colorado. And I'm very, very content that we have four of the six southeastern counties involved with CPACE. We're still working on Kiowa and Bent, so we'll keep moving that direction. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Danielle Berg. I am Otero County Economic Development and Special Projects. In my life outside of work, I'm a quilter. And I tell you that because I could make quilts with scissors and a needle and thread, or I could invest in a sewing machine, rotary cutters, and rulers to make my job easier and get more done. Well, that's what CPACE is. It is the sewing machine, rotary cutter, and rulers to my job. Economic development in and of itself can be difficult, especially in the situations that we're in right now. But the more tools an economic developer has in their toolbox, the better and more likely that we can move a community or a business forward. We have business loan funds, we have enterprise zone, we have historical credits, tax credits, all of these things. And CPACE would be just another tool in that toolbox. The really cool thing about CPACE is that it is not time intensive for the economic developer, for the county, for the treasurer, or for the assessor. Otero County has one project that's been completed. We got our first notice to put the payment on our tax roll, and it went right to the treasurer, a few clicks of a computer, to put the information in. The information was printed on the tax statement that goes out to everyone. And when that is paid back, the county writes a check back to CPACE, and we're done. Plus, you get to keep 1%. So that 1% covers your employee costs, your paper costs, your postage costs, all of that. And the more projects, of course, you have, the labor is not intense. You're able to squirrel away a little more money for the treasurer's office. That's who does it in Otero County. I'm not sure about Los Animas County, but I think that the CPACE program is a great tool. The second part of the tool is that Tracy's team also does a lot of workshops for contractors to get them up to speed on CPACE. And again, all of those are free workshops. I think, Tracy, forgive me, but I think we've had 5 or 6 out here in the Southeast. And local contractors then come to those meetings and they can then be involved with CPACE. So again, local contractors in your county or surrounding counties can benefit by learning about CPACE and then working on those CPACE programs. I hope you can hear the excitement about you guys looking at CPACE and working with Stephanie and Dana in order to move a project or two forward in Los Animas County. The biggest drawback our treasurer had was time, which we proved with this one that there isn't a lot of time. And the second question I get a lot from the counties is, what happens if that person doesn't pay their taxes, then now the county has this building on their roll? Well, that's true, but remember, when that property goes through your process, whoever purchases that process is purchasing that debt as well. So it moves along just like the property does. And so I think that that's a very small piece of the drawback that I've heard. In Los Animas County, you're just like us in Otero County. We have a lot of buildings that were built a long time ago. And when great big open paned windows were the thing to have in front of your building. And my push in Otero County is for energy efficient windows, energy efficient air conditioning and heating. And, you know, I don't even stop there. I go for the low flow toilets as well. So anything we can do to conserve energy and water in our area is really important. And this program gives the economic developers an opportunity to work with new and existing companies to upgrade themselves and make themselves better presentation-wise, saves them money, saves our planet, and saves our county.
Thanks so much, Donnell. And Dana, are you ready to speak about the fantastic projects that could benefit from this program?
Well, am I?
You're alive.
I'm alive. And I've been sitting here glancing once in a while at myself, and I realized that I was in prayer because we have so many absolutely wonderful projects in Trinidad that we're working on, and we're going to show you some pictures of them. And the architect that we've been working with, Paul Glenn, is very familiar with the CPACE program. And he, in his designs, some of which are about 99% complete, he's designed all the energy saving properties into these buildings that he possibly can. I wish that I could take you on an actual tour of the buildings. The first building that has to be shovel ready, as they say, the 1st of July, is the East Street School. And
can you ask Tracy to stop sharing? Tracy is still sharing. He needs to stop if he can.
Oh, Tracy, are you still sharing?
Yeah, I am, but you should be able to take it over from me.
I can't.
We can't until you come up with the...
I think Phil might have to give you guys permission to share your
screen. Get this on the line. In the meantime, Tracy, thank you so much for your great presentation. And
now, Danielle.
While we're doing that, I'm sitting in front of a picture of the interior of the Fox West Theater, which is one of the absolute fantastic assets. Little did I know when I started trying to get the city involved with this project, how what an international, really, achievement it is, and how proud we should all be to have it. And we're really glad that the park program can be, the CPAC program can, CPACE, come on, Dana, can be attributed to this building, because sometimes having CPACE is the difference between the ability to get a project done and the sad alternative of having to just wrap everything up until we can figure out how to get it financed, because financing in the rural communities has been extremely difficult. And the fact that Colorado has this program is a great blessing. So are we able to show the slides?
I'm trying.
Well, you know, in this great age of communication, it seems that you can hardly get through a Zoom program without having a few glitches. And this is a building that we're also working on 101 Pine Street. It had a disastrous flood a little over a year ago. And I'm back here now to the East School. This is the way it looks today. And the next slide will show it the way the architect has designed it. It will be a housing for artists, studios, and workspaces. And in the lower level where the cafeteria was, for those of you who might've gone to school there, it will have a culinary arts school. And the whole idea is, and this is an interior shot, and a lot of really fabulous energy efficient windows, and the roof is being replaced and will be full of insulation. And it's gonna be a, you know, kind of a poster child for energy conservation. And so that's the E-School. And the next slide is the Columbian on the corner of Main and Commercial Streets. And it's right in the heart of the historic district, the very forward thinking historic district that Trinidad has. And this building has been commercial on the first floor, and the second and third floor will be housing for 18 different units, and they will be condominiums. And across the street from it, I'm hoping, and this is the Columbian again, pretty well occupied on the first level with existing businesses today. And we're about 99 complete on the architect's drawings here. And once again, fortunately, a lot of energy saving materials have been. And then this is 101 Pine Street, which is gonna be renamed the Rejuvenation Station. And it's definitely a building that's being rejuvenated because it had a bad, bad flood there about a year ago in June. And the architect's drawings show what it can be. That would certainly be an addition to the neighborhood. 10 dwelling units on the upper floor and commercial spaces on the first floor, all of which would be involved with health related businesses. And it's just down the street from the college. And so we anticipate that we'll be really working closely with the college. Next slide is the Opera House. Originally built in 1882, and it stopped being an opera house in 1906 when the new Fox West Theater was started in construction. But this is a fabulous, fabulous building, which has massive structural problems, but it has so much that needs to be done to it. And it's so expensive that when the architect gave me some of his estimates, I said, oh, ouch. And he said, this building is a beast. So we're out to tame the beast. And as I mentioned, the Fox West Theater right here, which is just this tremendous regional asset, it is already working on energy savings, et cetera. And further on Main Street, the old Haddad department store I don't think we have a picture of it, but it's another building that we are hoping to renovate. Here's the Fox West Theater again as the evolution went on. It opened in, I think, 1908. And as a legitimate theater, which is the reason it gets spelled with an R-E instead of an E-R, and then it switched to the movies and operated until 2013 as a movie theater. And I suspect many of you might have been there. So if you have any questions, these two front spaces are the first ones that are going to be renovated and reactivated. And the Department of Local Affairs has given us a big grant, and we're just delighted that we're going to be able to use the CPACE program. So I'd like to wrap up by going back into my prayer stance, saying I hope that you commissioners will understand and help us join with the other counties in Colorado to be a part of this program, which is so fabulous for our community.
Thanks, Dana. And Larry Lucas was just going to talk a little bit about the Heritage Energy pilot program that the Fox West Theater will be partaking in or participating in. They picked two projects throughout the state to demonstrate how energy efficiency and historic preservation can work together to revitalize main streets throughout the state. So we're really excited about that. And I'd love Larry to just talk about that program a little and how CPACE might help that program and our project in particular.
You bet. Thank you, Chairman Lopez and distinguished commissioners. My name is Larry Lucas. I'm the Main Street Program Architect for the state. It's out of the Department of Local Affairs. What we are proposing is a new pilot project that we've just started. Actually, we're just kicking it off to work together with different agencies. So we're working together with the Energy Office and History Colorado, perhaps for the first time, to get them to work on historic preservation and at the same time, energy efficiency. The exciting thing about this are the incentives that are available in Colorado. Let me give you an example here. So let's just say that we do get CPACE in Los Animas and all these wonderful projects that Ms. Crawford has been showing us this morning. With the financing from CPACE, we can finance approximately 30% of whatever the building's value is. And on top of that, we can actually claim the historic tax credits, which are 35% in your county because you're less than 50,000 people, and also in Trinidad, which is less than 50,000. So you're really double dipping. And that's not something that's available to really anyone without CPACE. So you're able to finance your energy efficiency improvements. And at the same time, you can claim historic tax credits on that money. That's essentially how the program is geared to work. The other side of the Heritage Energy Pilot Program that we are undertaking with the Fox West Theater is that we'll have technical assistance available for myself, the Energy Office, and History Colorado to help expedite the project and to make it a success. And as Ms. Crawford alluded to, we're actually going to be focusing on the front two commercial spaces to reactivate the entrance to downtown and to really make that shine as one of the first things that you see when you come into the Main Street District. I'm available for any more questions after this, but thank you for your time today.
Thank you, everyone. And I think we are ready for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Stephanie. And thank you for everybody who will be on the call today. I'm sure we have plenty of questions. So we'll start off with Commissioner Lopez. Would you like to go first if you have any questions?
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you all of you for presenting this morning. Couple of questions. So this might be for you, Larry, or for Mr. Phillips. What's the difference between the CPACE program and the former Energy Office that the state really worked with? When I was at Trinidad State, we worked with the Energy Office, and basically the benefits of that were almost equal as what we see here with CPACE. That's question number one. And so I don't interrupt your response. My second question is there a set percentage for the capital improvement loan that the businesses are going to be processing? And then one of the things that we always hear with these energy upgrades is the measure of verification. Are those guaranteed? You know, one of the things that we did at the college, obviously we did a 12, 15 year projects, and the measure of verification guaranteed that institution a certain percentage of savings, whether it were annually or simply by month. And in many instances, that measure of verification was not accurate. So what happens on those? Let me go ahead and stop there and have you respond to those questions, if you will.
Yeah, this is Tracy. So in terms of the Colorado Energy Office, right, this program is sponsored by the Energy Office. So they helped get the legislation passed, and they're the sponsoring agency. So this is sort of one of the tools that they've created to try to help communities like Los Animas to do these types of projects, the things that Dana and Larry were talking about. In terms of the percent financing, yeah, I heard Larry mention this. So as an assessment on the property is really what underwrites the financing. So there's no rules about how much financing a building owner can get through the program, but because it's underwritten by the building itself, it's typically around, they're comfortable with about 20 to 30% of the building's value. And that'll depend on, you know, how much debt is on the property, is there a mortgage on the property, what type of property it is, where it's located. So that'll help determine that. But it's usually 20 to 30% of the building's value you can get through CPACE. On the measurement verification, it's funny, I like you mentioning that because I'm actually the chair. There's something called the IPMVP, the International Measurement Verification Protocol. And this is the overarching documents that help determine how measurement verification is done. And that's actually my background. And I'm currently the chair of the IPMVP committee. So I work with 22 other folks from around the world, and we help determine how M&V is done on performance contracting projects, utility DSM programs, and other types of projects. So I'm very well versed in M&V. All that said, the CPACE program does not have any requirements around measurement and verification. There's a certain cost, right, that comes with doing M&V. And so when they created the program, and I didn't create it, right, but when they created the program, they decided they did not want to mandate M&V. That said, an owner could include measurement and verification on a project, and those costs can be included in the financing as well. They're considered related to the project. And we have had some projects that have done M&V. But probably a more important point to make is that when these projects are developed, there are four different groups that need to agree that it's a good project before it can happen. So the first is the building owner, right? So they need to look at the project from their perspective. And as part of that, they're given a financial report, right? It shows all the projected energy savings and other incentives and the costs and all of that. That report and all the analytics behind it is reviewed by the program. So we're the third party oversight that's making sure everything's being reported and done properly and it's proper engineering methodology and all of that. But then the owner needs to say, yeah, this looks good. Then if there's a mortgage on the property, the mortgage holder needs to underwrite the project. They need to provide consent to allow the project to happen. And they're going to be looking at it from their perspective. You know, are these savings real? Is the building owner going to be able to make these payments? You know, all the rest of it. What are the benefits to them? And then the capital provider, of course, has to provide their consent. They're the ones lending the money. So they want to also make sure that this is going to be a financially stable project. So it's a pretty robust approach. And the reason I say it's robust, there have been over 2,500 projects done across the country over the last 10 years. There's only been two cases where an owner went into default, meaning they did not make their CPACE payment. So two out of 2,500, that's less than 0.1%, right? So it's a pretty robust model in terms of underwriting and making sure these projects are really going to meet the owner's expectations. The other part of it too, when we do our review, keep in mind, I don't want a whole bunch of owners that are unhappy with the program, owners that didn't see the savings that they were promised. And trust me, contractors out there overpromise like crazy. You know, it's in the solar contractor's blood to tell an owner you're going to pay for the system in 3 years when in fact it's going to be more like 15 years. And I'm the one that holds their pencil a little straighter. So there's no measurement and verification necessarily on the back end, but there's quite a robust process to help ensure that those savings are going to be realized.
So, Chairman, if I may, just one follow-up question. Mr. Phillips, what happens on these instances where the owner defaults on a building and the county is also basically out the taxes? When you go to sell the building, who benefits first, who pays first? Can you walk us through that process? Right.
Yeah, a couple of points there. So first of all, the taxes always come first, right? They're in a superior priority. So that's number one. Number two, the important point to make about when a property goes into default is that the CPACE assessment does not accelerate, meaning it doesn't come due. So it's only any payments that are in arrears, any payments that need to be made up that the next owner would have to make whole again, right? And that sometimes that could be the mortgage holder or a new building owner, somebody that comes in and purchases it. So when they do, right, the taxes will get paid first, and then the CPACE assessment will get paid after that, whatever was due. And then again, the payments will continue on. It stays with the property, so they'll perpetuate.
Anything else from Commissioner Lopez? Commissioner Hess.
Well, Felix, you stole my thunder. That last question was the one I was gonna ask. My second question is I'm curious if you guys know when the projected sunset for all these projects would take place. And then I just want to make a comment. Thank you, Dana, for this superb presentation and all. This has been very educational and will help with this decision. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's no plans to sunset the program itself. You know, as long as the legislation is there, the program is intended to continue. The fact that it's self-sustaining, it doesn't rely on any outside sources of capital, gives it, you know, pretty good life expectancy. Any projects that are financed through the program, once they're financed, they're set. So they're going to continue until the financing term ends. So 15, 20, 25 years, whatever it might be. So even if a county, you know, were to opt in, a number of projects get financed and the county decides for whatever reason to opt back out, they still have an obligation to service those projects that were financed. So remit those payments, in other words, back to the district, to the program as they come in. But yeah, there's no plans or expectations of any kind of sunsetting.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess my turn. Very good presentations, excuse me, from everybody. Thank you. And Danelle, you're always spot on. That's why you do such a great job for Otero Partners and Otero County, and always proud to be part of that team. One question I have, and I'm not sure to how I pose this, is when this program is enacted, and let's just say, for instance, the Pine Street renovation project takes place, will the county be able to continue with the evaluation property taxes on that, and they'll be able to increase, or will they be frozen at the level they're at pre-construction? And is that a benefit or to the county? Or are we gonna be able to see an increase in the property taxes on that? That'd be one part of it. And I mean, Ms. Amato might well have something in a few minutes. And another comment I have is, I did attend 40 years ago East Street School, and I would love to see that project going again. But as a commissioner, that's my main concern, is how it affects the county funding mechanism that we have coming in. However, I do see the other side of the coin with this type of projects being done, especially with the Fox Theater, of more tourism dollars being brought in, since the county now does have sales tax, which before we never had. And projects like these, if it was a detriment to county property tax revenue, which was our only source of revenue at those times, was frowned upon. So I guess I'll leave it there.
Yeah, so this is Tracy again. So right, the CPACE program will not affect your ability to increase property taxes whatsoever, right? Think of CPACE as just another way of financing these projects. It's you know, not just like if they took a traditional loan, would not affect your ability to increase property taxes. Neither would CPACE. We're essentially just piggybacking on the property tax bill, right? That's how we're getting the programs getting paid, or the capital providers are getting paid, is through that instrument. But it does not affect the ability for you to increase their property taxes. In fact, you know, these projects result, they are improvement projects, right? You're improving the property, which improves the building's net operating income. As soon as the net operating income goes up, this is how you value a property. The net operating income is directly related to a property's value. So as the NOI goes up, the value of the property goes up, proportional to the capitalization rate in that area, right? So these projects are going to be resulting in buildings that are worth more than they were before, and that should translate to increased property taxes ultimately for the county.
Thank you. And one last question I have, possibly for Ms. Crawford, being the developer, I believe, on these. If the county moves forward with this CPACE program, are all of these projects going to be moved forward soon or effectively? And what's the time frame for development if the county moves forward with this?
Time frame would be accelerated. It's very challenging to put these projects together because you have many different masters in a sense, because as Danielle was saying, we're working mostly with buildings that are historic. And so there are federal and state tax credits. There are sometimes special impact tax credits. There are opportunity zone tax credits and enterprise zone tax credits. And you would think, well, I heard of one project that had so many tax credits, they took money out. But I've never seen anything like that. So getting the stacks of these financing techniques put together, it really requires advanced patience and assistance and legal help, et cetera. But like the one of my favorite projects right now is your e-school. And as I said, 99% of the architectural drawings are done. And there are many, many programs that it can fit into because it's on the National Register of Historic Places. And so we have the historic tax credits, and there are several arts related programs. It's really part of the whole effort to bring more and more of the arts into Trinidad. And our goal is to start that project July 1st. In the case of Pine Street, or the what is it called? The rejuvenation station. we're very close to being able to start there, and we have to go out for bid on these projects. And many times we need a development agreement with the city. And like in the case of the e-school right now, we have a pending developer agreement and have some more hoops to jump through. Because of the pandemic, everything is slowed down and everything is more difficult for municipalities and counties because of the more limited funds that we are all dealing with. So I go back into the prayer mode. but I would answer, we're motivated to do these things as soon as possible because we have no income coming in and a lot of outflow. So, you know, getting this CPACE project passed by you all is exceptionally necessary in my prayer book.
Thank you. Ms. Amato, do you have any questions for the panel this morning?
Good morning, Chairman. I would like to say what a wonderful presentation. I am digesting the data, and if I have any questions, I will definitely send them on and forward them to all of you.
Thank you, Mrs. Amato. Mrs. Amato is our county assessor, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Mr. Dorenkamp, do you have any questions for the panel?
A couple. Can you explain the historic tax credits a bit, please, briefly?
I can jump on that. So the historic tax credits are for reinvestment in commercial properties. This is something that was set up federally, probably in advance of our state tax credit. That's essentially what it's for, is it's to take underutilized or vacant commercial properties and get them back into service.
And the tax credit would not be a property tax credit, it is some other form of tax credit?
It's an income tax credit, both the state and the federal.
And then the second question, has any counties opted out of this program once they ran it? And if so, why?
Yeah, so of the we did have 34 counties for a while. One county did opt out, and that's Weld County opted out. And you need to talk to them. I'd say it was the best I could say is it was politically motivated. There's, you know, usually CPACE works on different sides of the aisle just by its construct. But yeah, Weld County did opt out.
Okay, thank you. No more questions, Chairman.
Okay. Well, do we have any other closing comments from the panel?
On behalf of the panel, I'd just like to thank the commissioners, I think. And the commissioner should feel free to reach out to any of us if there's any further questions or clarification required.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry, this is Tracy Villas. I just want to say, yeah, thank you very much for your time. I did send the resolution and the county participation agreement to Phil last week. So you guys do have that. So if and when you decide you'd like to participate, you should be, you know, all set and ready to go.
Commissioner Lopez.
Just forward your contact information, if you would, Stephanie, to Mr. Dorenkamp, and then we can certainly, with any questions, follow up. But thanks again.
And we'll be in contact with you guys. We'll take this under advisement, and before we make an agenda item with Mr. Dorenkamp, and he will get back to you guys, and we'll move forward and look at this here, hopefully in the next 30 days. And thank you all for your time today, presentation, and it's glad to see, you know, Trinidad is my hometown, and Los Animas County is born and raised here, and it's just nice to see the revitalization of our community and all of you folks that are trying so hard to help our community, from the investors to all you program directors. Thank you so much for being here today with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, if you wish to stay on the call, you may do so. We are going to move on with our elected officials updates. And Sheriff Navarrete contacted me this morning. He is not available to be on the call today, and another issue has arisen for him, but it's interesting to know that he is actually in the courthouse today with having some short staff, but he's attending a sentencing of a very known incident that's happened in the community with some burglaries and break-ins, and the gentleman is being sentenced today. So he is attending that. A lot of those thankless jobs that I mentioned earlier today, thank you to our law enforcement and our district attorney's office for all they do. But this gentleman, I believe, will be sentenced to 10 years today. And he was actually one of the gentlemen who participated in assaulting my business as well. So I'm proud to say that this gentleman is being fully prosecuted by our law enforcement and district attorney's office. So thank you all for that. Sheriff Navarrete, again, will not be on the call. I'll move forward with Ms. Amato since you're there. Last, Ms. Amato.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yesterday, we did have a meeting with Cougar Canyon. I'm hoping we can gain some traction and some forward momentum in getting this taken care of. If somebody would just let me know if I who's going to be pulling maps or if the city has them already, and when we, Phil, if you could let me know when we might be needing to have that meeting, because we're getting very busy as we move into our reevaluation period. From this month all the way through June and July now, we will be full head of steam and reevaluation and protests and possibly CBO hearings, all the funness that comes with valuation. Other than that, we are trucking right along. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Amato. Mr. Messis, Mrs. Vigil, are you on the call?
This is Joseph. I'm here. We have no updates for our office. We do. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Mr. Mestis. Mrs. Leonetti, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Good morning. I have nothing to report unless you have some questions for my office.
No, I don't have any questions for you. Does the board have any questions or concerns? Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
We have anybody from our district attorney's office or our surveyor or county coroner? Okay, thank you. Unfinished business, we have any. Item 8, new business, discussion and consideration of Trinidad State Junior College Colorado Opportunity Scholarship Initiative, in other words, COSI, a letter of support. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you is a letter of support for Trinidad State Junior College / Adams State's COSI program. As you mentioned, Chairman, it's the Colorado Opportunity Scholarship Initiative. This was brought about through the taxpayers passing 1A or ballot measure 1A this past November. The monies of $15,000 were awarded to the COSI match, and this is just a support letter indicating such.
Thank you. We have any concerns or comments from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
I move to consider Trinidad State Junior College Opportunity Scholarship Initiative letter of support.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and I'm very glad to see and hear that we were finally able to, we have in the past helped a little to the COSI program, but because of the passage of 1A, our local voters approved this, and it is being passed on to our youth and our children for scholarships to get an education. So what a win-win-win situation today. I am a yes. Mm-hmm. Item B, discussion and consideration of airport coronavirus response grant program.
Commissioner, before you is the Airport Coronavirus Response Grant Program, that the funds have become available from the federal government through another one of the coronavirus, as the title indicates, coronavirus relief programs. It's also known as the Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, in the amount of about $9,000. And I'll hand this off to Christy Corberly. She is the one working these grants. Or any other comment?
Good morning. So it says that this grant could be used for operation, personnel, cleaning, janitorial services. So we can use it for anything that I think we like, as long as we stay within that. We can use the 9,000.
Hey, we have any concerns or questions from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
I move for the consideration of the Airport Coronavirus Response Grant Program, ACRGP.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of Los Angeles County 2021 AOP. Ms. Chavez, is that, are you on? I don't see her. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you is the annual operating AOP plan that all the participating parties in this plan were at a work session January 19th, and all parties at that time were afforded an opportunity to make comment on this plan. And the plan comments were, I believe, included in this one. It is, they are included in this plan, so I'd ask the board to approve this.
And that was, to refresh everybody's memory, that was the meeting we had with Mr. Lobiondo, correct?
Yes, Mr. Lobiondo and a number of the fire chiefs. Mm-hmm. And emergency manager, Kim Chavez, who is in a vaccination clinic today, so she's tied up with that clinic.
Okay. Thanks for all your help in that, Kim. I have no concerns or questions. Does anybody from the board have any concerns? Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve Los Angeles County at 2021 AOP.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and I'd just like to add that this plan is very imperative that we have this in place for our mitigation, our fire protections, and all of our emergencies that entail with that. This is a lot of work that goes behind the scenes for them, so I thank them for all of their work and effort in preparing this plan. Item D, discussion and consideration of IFB 21-R002, change order number one, increasing asphalt tonnage to be placed on County Road 30.1. Mr. Bernkamp.
Commissioners, before you is IFB 21-R001, change order number one. It's a change order that's asking the board to approve increasing the tonnage that was bid at 8,486 tons to 11,100 tons, and the emulsion amount from 1,700 gallons to 2,220 gallons for County Road 30.1. This is west of Cokeville, Bon Carbo, in that area. The original contract price was $1,754,573.25. With this change order being approved, the new contract total is going to be $1,999,365.25. Completion deadline is stay the same. We have $2 million budgeted for this project, $1 million of road and bridge funds that have been accumulated over the past when energy impact grants were no longer available to be applied for, or the amount that we applied for was reduced, we'd be in the road and bridge department. And then the second million is energy impact assistance grant fund monies. So I'd ask the board to approve this. The contractor, A&S Construction has signed their portion of the change order.
Do I have any comments or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion at this time, please.
Move for approval of consideration of IFB 21-R002 change order number one, increasing asphalt tonnage to be placed on County Road 30.1.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and that's going to be good for that area. And all as always, Mr. Dornkamp doing his due diligence and getting the best prices out there and bidding for Los Angeles County, and then always having a little extra to do another extra couple miles on this project. So I think that'd be about 2 miles, right?
It'll be another 8/10.
Eight tenths.
Yeah, the total of 11,000 tons would be a little over 2 miles, you're correct. But the addition will be 8/10.
Right. Good job.
Well, and thank the other staff too, because everyone pitches in.
Make sure you let them know that, Phil. Brandy and all the road and bridge guys and stuff. So item E, consideration of public declaration letter for Los Angeles County Sheriff. And I think Pam, you have some information on this because Derek mentioned he couldn't be on the call for this.
That's correct, Commissioner. The board considered this letter at a meeting, I believe in late January, for the Sheriff's Department to be able to fly the drones for search and rescue operations, things along that nature. It was sent to the FAA. They had a concern with something in the first paragraph, so we've edited it to hopefully alleviate whatever concern they have. So this is just a revised version of that initial letter so that we can get the sheriff going on being able to fly the drones.
Okay, so this is ready to go then?
It is, and upon if it is approved today, I will email it to the appropriate parties.
Okay, any questions from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the public declaration letter for Los Angeles County Sheriff.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item F, consideration of MGT cost allocations plan. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you is MGT consulting cost allocation plan agreement. I am going to hand this over to our finance director, Christy Coberly.
I'm fine with it, unless Pam has something to say.
Commissioners, I've been working with Christy on this one. I made some suggested changes and edits. She forwarded on to MGT. They approved all of our changes. So as it stands now, I have no concerns with this current agreement.
And this is the agreement we've been working with for the Department of Human Services, correct?
Correct. I believe at the last meeting, the bid was approved. And so this is the agreement that finalizes that bid.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns? Entertain a motion. Go ahead.
Perhaps, Chair, Christy, on this particular one, this will actually take all the line item appropriation of the allocating back to by department and by cost center, correct?
I'm sorry, Phil, what was it that you said?
Yeah, the cost allocation in summary is basically to take a look at where some of the county can recover by either cost center or line item some of these funds.
Yeah, it used to be indirect cost. So now it's a cost allocation plan. So it's pretty much the same as indirect cost. We just don't come up with a rate any longer. So that's what it is.
Thank you.
It's how we're supporting Department of Human Services on our side.
Sure.
Okay, entertain a motion this time.
Move for the approval of MGT cost allocation plan.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes. Financial matters, considerations of bills and payroll for the second half of February 2021. Mrs. Coberly.
Bills and payroll as of February 28th is $175,219.86. Bills paid on February 17th, $118,133.71. Within that packet, we paid $17,785. It was a partial payment for a new vehicle for the sheriff. The other part of it will come from what was left from our bond that we did last year for the four vehicles. Bills paid on February 24th for $46,779.87. And in there, we refunded Choice One Motors for the Humvee that was titled incorrectly. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. We have any questions for Ms. Coberly? Entertain a motion, please.
I motion to approve the bills and payroll for the second half of February 2021.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item 9B, informational only, financial reports as of December 31st, 2020. No, wait, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. I didn't think that looked right. That is it for bills and payroll. Now, well, the board will meet in executive session under CRS 24-6-4024B, conferring with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. Item A, public safety, sales tax, extension, term limits, building enforcement. Do I hear a motion, please?
Motion. Move for this board to meet in executive session.
Second.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes, and I think we'll take about a 10-minute recess. Is there a restroom break, Mr. Dornkamp?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today.